Give you a few verses this morning. Psalms 138. I preach a message this morning on how to read the Bible. How to read the Bible. The greatest thing you'll ever do as a Christian is to read your Bible. The greatest thing after your salvation spiritually you'll ever do, 10 million times better than coming to church and hearing a sermon, 10 million times better than passing out a tract, is to read your Bible. To read your Bible. I got a thing here about Bible reading. And African Americans are the most Bible reading people on the earth. 71% of African Americans read their Bible every day. You go around, Brother Ben knows what I'm talking about. The people that amen you, that get excited about God at the park, are black people. 29% in here, it says, of black people read their Bible more than an hour a day. You get around them. Brother Ben called me the other day and let me talk to a black lady on the phone that was excited about God, that heard his message. She wanted to talk to me. Amen. She is excited. You say, why? They read their Bible. They read their Bible. Psalm 138, verse 2. In Philippians chapter 2, 10 says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. God's put a lot of emphasis on the name of Jesus. It says over in John chapter 1, he came at his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. Philippians 2 said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's the greatest name. Acts chapter 4, 12, neither is there salvation and any other name. Psalms 138, verse 2 says this. Psalm 138, verse 1. Let me get there. I could quote it, but I'm going to read it, make sure I get it right here. I will praise thee with my whole heart. With the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy love and kindness, for that truth, watch it, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. As great as the name of Jesus Christ is, as great as the name is, he said, I put my word above that. Turn to John chapter 12. The greatest thing you'll ever do as a Christian is to read your Bible. Nothing comes close. Nothing. Raising a family, working a job, none of that comes even close as a Christian now. I'm not talking about I'm talking about spiritually. If you're saved, the greatest thing you're ever going to do is get in your Bible. And one of the things I've been real encouraged, I'm excited about this church right now. We're seeing some stuff. And one of the things I'm excited about, people that are reading their Bible. And they're excited about it. That's what we talked a lot about at Logan's, where we were at, reading their Bible and all. It was great. And some of them never read their Bible, but they're reading their Bible every day. And they're getting fed. It's just amazing. John chapter 12, verse 48. Here's what the Lord said. John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. Watch this. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You'll be judged by this book. This is it. This is the books that were opened in the Revelation. This is what God's going to judge you out, what you do with this book right here. This is it. Look at John 14. Flip over. John 14. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. There's no way in the world to keep them if you don't even read them. You need to read your Bible. And I'm going to give you some things on how to read the Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. And the Lord expects you to read your Bible. He expects that. Not a choice you have as a Christian. He expects it. Look at Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Give you a few verses. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. This is the Lord talking, not me. Don't shoot me, I'm the piano player. You heard that. I'm just giving you what God wrote. I'm just trying to point it out. Matthew 12, 3 says this, and he said unto them, have you not read what David did? He said, didn't you read your Bible? Look at Matthew chapter 12, 5.
Or have you not read the law? Hadn't you read your Bible? That's what he's saying to you. He expects you to read the Bible. Turn to Matthew 19. He's rebuking them. Hadn't you read it? Matthew 19. Over and over he says this. Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning? Didn't you read your Bible? Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21:16. And Jesus said unto him, hearest what thou sayest? Yea, have you never read? Didn't you read in your Bible out of the mouth of babes and such? Look at Matthew 21:42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scripture over and over and over? I could keep going. He keeps saying, didn't you read your Bible? Didn't you read what it said? He expects you to read it. The phrase, it is written, is found 63 times in the King James Bible. When the devil met Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, you know what Jesus did? It is written. Oh, it is written. What are you doing? He's quoting Bible. A Christian should read their Bible. It's the core of the Christian faith. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. The core of the Christian faith. The seed of the Christian faith. Everything depends on the book. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. What saved you, the seed that got in you, that if you're born again today, was the Word of God that generated in that day when you got saved. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2:2. When you got saved, this should have happened if you're saved. This didn't happen, you didn't get saved. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. Just like that new baby. I held my little grandson here when he was about a day old down there, and nobody had to tell him to suck on that bottle. He knew exactly. He was looking for milk. And a newborn babe, a new Christian, is looking for milk. It's natural. I've had people come to me in this church with various problems in their life. I had about four or five. Some of them had anger. Some of them had depression. Had different things in their life, issues. And the first question I ask everybody that ever comes to me, I said, do you read your Bible daily? Every one of them said, no. And I said, until you read your Bible daily, God's not going to be able to do a whole lot for you. I said, I can pray for you, and I'm going to pray for you. But to be honest, I said, if you don't get in your Bible and start reading and feeding on it, this prayer will be a waste of time. Because the way God speaks to you, and the way He ministers to you, and the way He comforts you, and the way He gives you victory is through the Word of God. I've never had anybody come to me with situations and problems in their life that read their Bible daily. I don't think I ever will. It's the core of the Christian faith. I've never met a Christian that came to me and say, you know what, preacher? I'm reading my Bible too much. You know, preacher, I've been saved 42 years. Nobody's ever come to me and said, hey, preacher, you know what? I tell you, I'm just backslidden. I read my Bible so much. They don't say that. They never will say. I've never had anybody come to me and say, boy, I wasted all that time reading my Bible. They won't say that. The church, you probably not many pastors going to tell you this, but I'm trying to help you this morning, give you some truth. The church will not help you by itself. The church is here to make you a doer. This is where you hear. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own yourself. All you do here this morning is going to hear. When you leave is where you do. Church by itself is going to do nothing for you if you don't do with what you get in church. That's the purpose. But a lot of Christians think just sitting in the church, that's the deal. That's not the deal. That's where you start, get your battery charged up. Like Miss Tara said, her car wouldn't crank this morning, didn't have a battery. Churches help you to crank you up so you can start driving down the road, but it's not the drive. It's the battery to get you going, hopefully. And outside of your salvation, the best thing you're ever going to do as a Christian by far anything is to read and feed on your Bible. That'll change your life. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I've had a lot of people in this church come to me and say, I've never been in a church that pushed me and promoted and preached to read the Bible. They said, it's the first church I've ever been in that said to do that. That's a shame. As long as I'm pastor, you're going to hear it. Over and over and over. You say, well, I'm reading. Praise God. Sit back and enjoy the message. You might pick up a few things. But I'm going to keep giving it to you. You say, why? Because it's the most important thing you can get. It'll help you better than anything else as a child of God to get in your book. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I didn't write this. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, you heard from us, you received it not as the word of man. This book's not the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, watch this, which effectually worketh also where? In you, inside you. It works inside you that believe. This book will work in you if you believe it, the word of God, and you're saved. It'll do work inside you. And the only way to get this book inside you and for it to work, the only possible way is to read it. God's not going to come to you tonight in a dream and pop the word of God in your head. You're not going to watch TV and watch CBS, NBC, Fox, NBC, I don't care who it is. You're not going to sit there and all of a sudden, pow! You got the Bible in your head. Don't work that way. You got to read it. And I'm going to give you a few things that I've learned through the years and I've heard other people say just on how to read the Bible. Number one, I'm going to say the first thing, if you're going to read the Bible, the first thing you've got to do is make it a priority. It's got to be one of the things you say, I'm going to do this every day. Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. You got to say, Lord, I love you. I'm going to read and keep the word. It said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're ever going to read the Bible daily and consistently, it's got to be a priority in your life. Got to be. There are certain things I'm going to do every day, Miss Samantha. Each and every day I'm going to do them. They're priorities. I'm going to brush my teeth, Miss Jane. I am. Now, I've read recently where they say you don't have to brush your teeth every day, that all that's a fad, that the bacteria don't grow that fast, you don't get cavities that fast, and all that. But I'm going to brush them. I feel like there's 10 pounds of gunk hanging on my teeth when I get up in the morning. Do you feel that way? You feel them? You know what? When I get up in the morning, I feel like there's about 10 pounds of gunk in my soul, and I'm gonna brush my soul, and I'm gonna read my Bible. Just like I'm gonna brush my teeth every day, there's just things that are priority to me, I'm gonna do, and reading my Bible is a priority I'm gonna do. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna drink a cup of coffee. Caffeinated, by the way. Not a decaf man. We used to go up to Ohio, and my Esther's sister lives up there. Esther remembers, and they drank coffee, but for some reason they wouldn't make it on Sunday. You remember that? All right, and you know what I do since I get up? I drive 5 miles down the road, get us the biggest cup of coffee I could find. I would. We slept down in the basement. They had a little thing in the basement, a little prophet's chamber, and we'd sleep there. Man, I'd have to sleep. I'd go out the door and get in that car, Brother Jeb, give me some coffee. I'm going to get a cup of coffee, especially now that you live longer. Amen. I got an excuse. Well, that's a priority in my life. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the bathroom every once in a while. I'm going to clean up. Let's get rid of some of the waste. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to get rid of some of the waste. It's a priority in my life. Just like those. I'm going to eat a meal, Brother David. At least one. Maybe two. I don't eat breakfast normally. But I'll eat a little bit of lunch and a better dinner. But I'm going to eat. The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm going to read my Bible. It's part of my priority. It's my everyday, everything I do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it if it's all possible. I make it a priority. You know what? When you don't make it a priority, you know what happens? Everything in the world piles on. But I don't care how bad it is, I go in there and put some toothbrush on, toothpaste on. You know, I don't care how bad it is. I go down and get in this book a little bit. May not read it as much as I'd like to, Miss, that day, Miss Samantha. I have some days like that. But I'm going to get in it and get a little bit, at least three chapters I try to get through. That's my minimum. That's my minimum I try to go through. You got to make it a priority. Mark 4:19 says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things enter in and choke the word. Well, choke the word. You won't have time for it. If you don't make it a priority, you say, listen, I got to read my Bible. Make it a priority. Psalm 119:16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And if you don't make it a priority, you'll forget about it and the day will be gone before you know it. Make it a priority. We got everything in the world. We spend 365 days, 8,760 hours. We got 525,000 minutes a year. We spend about 365 hours a year eating. 1,560 hours watching TV. The average person, get this, spends 50 minutes on Facebook, as Earl calls it. Listen, get off Facebook and get in the faith book. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you spend 50 minutes in the Word of God every day, you could read it through four times a year. But you know what we do? It's not a priority. Make it a priority. Say, listen, Lord, I'm going to make that book a priority. It takes 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible through at pulpit rate. Everybody reads louder than that. If you divide 72 by 365 days, you get less than 12 minutes a day you can read your Bible through once a year. Not much. Not much. It's the best thing you can do as a Christian, but the only way you'll ever do it is make it priority in your life. Say, Lord, there's some things I'm going to do, and one of them is reading my Bible. Leonard Ravenhill, in his book, Meat for Man, tells of a guy, Dr. Sung. He was placed in a state mental hospital and declared insane in White Plains, New York. He requested a King James Bible, and he read it through 40 times in 6 months. He was sitting there in that cell. He read it every 4.5 days. He read it from Genesis to Revelation. In 6 months, he was completely declared sane and recovered, and they let him go from reading the Bible. Say what? Make it a priority in your life. Next thing I want to say, how to read your Bible, make it a part of your life. Make the Bible a part of your life. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to be blessed? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he doth meditate day and night. It's a part of his life, day and night. Make the Word of God, but let it come into your life and make it a part of your life. Whatever it takes, make it work. Make it your friend, your buddy, your comfort, your joy, your spiritual toothpaste, man. Make it a part of your life, just like your toothbrush. Brother, when you go leave somewhere, you don't leave without your toothbrush. Don't leave without your Bible. Make it a part of your life. Whatever works. Brother Bob, I go over his house some, and some of you have been there. He's got that little bar around his kitchen. Kind of thing, and he got his seat. This is where he always sits, this one little chair. That's his throne. If you've ever been over there. And right there at his throne is his Bible. I called him the other day, last week. I said, Brother Bob, I've been trying to get you. He said, I've been in bed. I just got up to get, this is like 4 o'clock. He said, I just got up to get a cup of coffee and read my Bible. I'm going back to bed. Bye. But you know what? That Bible is part of his life. When he gets up and gets his coffee, wherever he goes, his little throne where he sits, there's a King James Bible sitting there open. Some of you have been, you know what I'm talking about. Make it a part of your life. When I was in Bible school, I had a hard time reading my, it's hard to find time. You work all day, then you go to school from 6 to 10, then you start courting your sweetheart. Boy, it really gets rough. That kills you. You got Greek twice a week, and Jim McGahee would give you so much homework, your brains would fall out. You know when I read my Bible? A lot of times in the bathroom. Can't do that no more. I can't see those little New Testaments. You ever read it? I'd sit out at lunch or dinner. I'd take my Bible and read it. I made it a part of my life. Make it a party. You ladies, when you cook, take that Bible, put it over there on the counter where you're cooking. Open that thing up. When you run by there, get something, reach over there and grab you a few verses and chew on them. Brother Charlie Andrews, I remember years ago, he was a mechanic, brought many years. And this is like 30 years ago or longer. I went over to where he worked in Inslee. Brother David knows Brother Charlie, and Brother Charlie worked on his car some. He was over in that garage, and I went over and talked to him at lunch about something. And I went over there, and on his old greasy desk, workbench there, all his junk, Brother Zito, there was an old greasy King James Bible sitting there, wide open. I said, "Brother, what you doing with your Bible?" He said, "Ma'am, when I go over here and I get me some tools or get some," he said, "I reach over and get a few verses, and I get down under the car, I just chew on them a little bit." Make it work for you. Make it a part of your life. If you're a mechanic, put that thing up there. When you're cooking, throw it out there. Miss Samantha, a few times Brother Zito's come in, and Miss Karen, and they said, "Samantha's out in the car. She's reading her Bible." Read it when you can. I know Miss Samantha comes over and has piano lessons a lot of times. And when she does, Miss Karen sits out in the car waiting on her, reading her Bible. When you get some time, make it a part of your life. Make it a priority. This Bible is the only way God's going to speak to you. It's it. It's His voice. Doctor's office is a great place, man. You can sit there for so long, you can read the whole New Testament sometimes. I'm serious. You got 2 hours, man. Sometime. I mean, you can read the whole thing, man. How many there? Make it a part of your life. When you get a few minutes, jump in it. Jump in it. Make it a part. When I was working in the morning, when I worked at UAB, I worked 6 to 4. But you know what I do? Every morning I'd get up and I'd take 30 minutes. That was God's time. I spent 30 minutes praying and reading. And when I started working at Baptist, I worked 8 to 5. So from 7 to 7:30, that was God's time. Now it's a little different. Now I get up, I go down the park and minister and talk to those people. Then when I get home, man, I feel great. I was telling Brother Anthony, I feel like I'm 10 years old. And that's when I read my Bible. But it's a part of my life. My schedule changed so it wasn't quite where I need to put it. But I moved it over here, but it's still a part of my life. Make it work for you. Find out your life, but make it a part of your life. Charles Haddon Spurgeon one time, he picked up a Bible and there was a hole in it. A worm had drilled a hole through the book, his Bible. And he got that old book and looked at it and got on his knees and said, oh God, make me a bookworm for you, Lord. Let me be like this worm that drilled in that book, Lord. Make me a bookworm in the Bible. Make it a part of your life. Make it a priority of your life. Whatever works for you. Dwight L. Moody one time, I was reading. He read the book of Ephesians 93 times in 1 week. He read it 13 times a daily, which is not that big of a book. You could do it. And he said, when he got up and preached that day, that was one of the strongest anointings I ever felt. Man, that guy was amazing if he had that. So what he's saying, make it a priority. Make it a part of your life. And then make a plan. Make it a plan. Get a plan. If you don't have a plan and a path, a lot of times you'll just fizzle out and there'll be no direction, there'll be no determination, but get you a plan. We got these little Bible schedules out there. We got a yearly, got a 90 day. And I see a lot of people have come to me and they check those. When they read, they check it out. Make it a plan. If you don't have a plan, you know what happens? It turns into a pain. When you're a plan and you're prepared, you normally get the job done. When you have a plan and a challenge, you have a way to measure your success. And when you get through, you say, well, glory to God, I made it. Make it a priority. Make it a part. Make it a plan. There's a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment you get when you got a plan. Miss Karen, a couple of weeks ago, told me, she said, Brother Terry, I just finished reading my Bible for the first time this year. I finished yesterday. I told her, I said, I'm behind you, but I finished yesterday. Miss Samantha finished, what, 2 months ago or something. She's in Leviticus. And you know what? They got a plan. Get a plan. Get a plan. Get a plan and make it a part, make it a priority of your life. Brother Ben, I love Brother Ben. He's just blessing my heart. We got a 90-day plan over there. That's about 30 minutes a day. And Brother Ben got excited last week, and he's going through the 90-day plan. He got it. He was so excited. He said, Brother Terry, I'm fixing to take a 90-day journey through the Word of God. Woo! Get a plan. Get a challenge in your life. Get a plan. A lot of people, here's the way they read the Bible. Where did my Bible go? Somebody stole my Bible. Yeah. Well, I got this other one. Yeah. On the pen. My wife took it. Sarah, did you see Mama take my Bible? A lot of people read like this. They'll just drop it open. I'm glad I'm through with that. Got my Bible reading done for the day. Hallelujah. You know what? Nothing to get done. You're wasting your time. Get a plan. Spend some time in it. Make a plan. You don't go to the grocery store that way, do you? Bible said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my... You don't go to the grocery store and say, okay, see, let me throw my finger out here and what we're going to have tonight. Soft soap and toilet paper. I hope my husband's like a soft soap and toilet paper sandwich because that's what we're having. That's not the way you do it. You plan it, plan, and get through the Bible. I heard this little poem. I thought I knew the Bible. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss. With a little bit of John or Matthew and a snatch of Genesis. A chapter of Isaiah and of course Psalms the 23rd. Now the first of Proverbs. Boy, I thought I knew the word. But I found a thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. And you who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before a kneel a weary and a yawn out a hurried prayer. You who treat the Word of God as you treat no other book, with a paragraph disjointed and a pesky little look. Try a blessed new journey with a prayerful eternal view. You will shout and praise the Lord when you read your Bible through. Nothing in the world like it. I want to say, make it a plan. Make it a priority. Make it a part. Let me say, make it a pleasure. Make it a pleasure. One of the pet peeves I've got with Christians and Christianity and churches is that Christians are, they're dull and they're bored and they endure their Christian. What I've tried to do every church I've tried to go, I've tried to get them, enjoy it, get excited. Every church I've been in, I've tried to get them excited about God. I love serving God. I love reading my Bible. I love going on the street. I love serving God. I love coming to church. I'm not enduring, brother. I'm enjoying this for 42 years. Every church I've been, I've tried to get them. In the Bible reading, make it a pleasure. Don't make it a dull and a bore and a chore. Don't make it a pain. If you keep that in your mind, brother, you won't read it. We get defeated before we ever get started. Make it a pleasure in your life. I like what Paul said in Acts 26, chapter verse 2. He's standing there for King Agrippa. You know what he said? I think myself happy, King Agrippa. I mean, here he was about to be beheaded eventually. He said, I'm happy because it's up here. See, we get defeated up here a lot of times. We think, oh man, I got to read the Bible. Oh no. Make it a pleasure. Make it a pleasure. Job said in the book of Job 23, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I love this Bible so much. Honest to goodness, Lord. If somebody came to me and said, we're going to take away your physical food or the Bible, what do you want? I wouldn't have to pray 2 seconds. I'd say, I'll take my Bible. I can do without the physical food. I'll starve, go home to be with, but I'm not going to give up my Bible. Make it a pleasure. Make it a pleasure. Make reading your Bible a special, special pleasure in your life. Enjoy it. I remember when I got saved. In my house, we didn't have any new furniture. I didn't realize how poor we were till the other day. I was meeting with my brothers. We had a family reunion. They talked about her. I guess when you high half your life, you don't know what you got and don't have. You know, you stumble through. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? They talked about how poor we were. I said, we were that poor? I don't remember that. You weren't around, no wonder. We had this old chair, though, after I got saved. Had a black leather recliner somebody gave us. I don't think my parents ever bought a piece of furniture in my life. Everything we had, our cars were given to us. We didn't buy, they didn't have any money. I didn't realize we was that poor. And it had this old black recliner in the corner and the living in the den and the guts were coming out and the cotton was hanging out. And I mean, it was pitiful. I mean, the Salvation Army wouldn't have took it. But boy, it was comfortable, Brother David. I mean, you sat in that thing, it's like floating on a cloud, man. And I'd get up in the morning where I go to work in the afternoon. I'd sit there and read my Bible. And man, there have been many times I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without ever getting up. There have been many times I've sat down there, Miss Karen, and I've sat through and read Genesis from 1 to 50 without even getting up. You say, why? I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure. Make it a pleasure. Make it a pleasure. I like a nice giant print. I don't like to squint when I read my Bible. I get the biggest I can find. I don't like to squint. My wife likes to squint. She gets her magnifying glass out sometime. I tell her, I got you a big print. Won't you get that one over there? But I like a giant print. I don't like a whole, my reading Bible, I don't mark it up. I don't mark it up. I don't park up my preaching Bible, you know. I got something. Because when I read the Bible, you know what I want? I want thus saith the Lord. I don't read out of a study Bible. All I want is the text of the Bible just to feed me and thus saith the Lord. I love this Bible right here I got. This is from Bearing Precious Seed. No cross references or nothing. I love it. The words of Jesus are not in red. I love it. I love it. Every one of His words are His, not just the ones in red. It dilutes the importance of the Word of God. Genesis 1 is just as important as John 3:16 to the Lord. He is the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And brother, I like a giant print Bible so I don't have to squint. I want to enjoy it. In my office where I read right now, I got this big old leather chair I got from Mazer's for $100. Best office chair I've ever seen. It's worn out, leather. I mean, but it sits in it like you sit in a glove. And man, I got me a little stool underneath my desk and I'll sit back and prop. And boy, I just sit back and have me a time reading my Bible. Make it a pleasure in your life. Make it a part. Make it a priority in your life. Make it a pleasure. Boy, there's been some times, man, I've been reading that Bible. And honest to goodness, about once a month maybe. I wish it was more. Boy, I read that Bible and it's like God sticks an ivy in me. A Holy Ghost ivy. And I mean I'm bypassing the flesh. And it's just like God's injecting me with the Holy Ghost. And boy, that Bible is getting in me and in the body or out of the body. I can't not tell, brother. And I'm going to tell you, it's wonderful. Make it a pleasure. Enjoy it. It'll speak to you like nothing you've ever had. Find a place in your house or out in the backyard. I go down here to Cosby Lake a lot and walk every morning. I see a lot of people. A lot of people down there reading their Bible. They're sitting out on one of those gazebos or sitting on one of those benches out there. Every morning I go out there, I see at least one person out there reading their Bible. Just enjoying the day, enjoying the weather, and having a ball and a pleasure. Go out in your backyard. Go out on your deck. Find that place. My sister-in-law, Suzanne, her husband's a pastor up there in Ohio. She's the one we've been praying for about the eye. She has a waterproof Bible, which you can get them on the internet. And she really likes to read the Bible, she said, in the bathtub. Hey! Make you a bubble bath. Put you a candle on. Get you one of those waterproof Bibles. Make it a pleasure. Read your Bible. Make it a priority. Make it a part. Make it a pleasure. I want to say this morning, not only make it a pleasure, make it personal and private. You need to get along with the Lord and read your Bible. There's a time to read your Bible with your spouse and your kids and your grandkids and family altar, and I understand that, but your Bible reading don't need to be that. You need a time that you can get with God and you and the Lord are alone and you can be focused on God and He can be focused on you. We'd have family altar and read at night and what happened? Somebody get laughing. You get distractions. A lot of times it was Esther. We get laughing and cutting up and carrying up, and Rachel will get, "Mama, stop it," or "Dad, stop." I mean, you know, when you get two people in there, you get distraction. One starts laughing, then you start, and the next one starts yelling. Poor Lord. Listen, when you read your Bible, get along with God, you and the Lord. All throughout the Bible, it says, and Jesus went up the mountain alone. He said, when you pray, go in your closet by yourself, go in there and shut the door. When you read your Bible, find that private time, that personal time. Make it personal when you get along with the Lord. Make it a pleasure. Make it personal. Make it precious. Make it precious. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. You know what? You'll never know the precious promises till you get in the precious Word of God. That's where they're at. Turn over to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I love this verse. Make it a pleasure. Make it private. You and the Lord. Make it precious. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says this. Look, this Miss Samantha said something about this. We was talking about reading the Bible the other night. She said, "It's so wonderful." She said, "You know what we got?" She said, "We got in our hands the mind of Jesus Christ." That's what we do. We got the mind of God that made the whole earth sitting in our hands. It's amazing. Roloff used to say, if this Bible could be flesh, it'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, he on a white horse, his name was the Word of God. This is the mind of Christ. Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to know that? Look at Psalms 139, verse 17. How precious. Look at this. 139, 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. See what he's talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. That's God's thoughts right in your hand. Make it precious. Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. Do you realize this book right here is the only thing that keeps your kids and grandkids from going to hell? Is this right here? This is it. This is the sole thing that'll keep your family and your friends and those around you from burning in eternity in a tormented lake of fire is this precious book. It ought to be precious to you. It ought to be precious. This is it. That's all. There's no other thing. John Wesley said, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach me the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Please give me that book. I got it. This is the most precious thing on this earth right here. This right here will keep your kids, your grandkids, your family, your friends out of hell right here. This is it. This is the only thing. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. What a thing, man. Psalm 119:103, I love this. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I remember last year when they had that big old highway 11 yards. So you remember that, Brother Anthony? And me and Brother Anthony, we decided we weren't going to buy anything, didn't we? A lot of junk out there. We weren't going to buy that junk. Well, we went around witnessing the people passing out tracts there, and we'd look at it, and we went down there, and there's some people selling honey. You remember that? And they give you a little bit of honey, Brother David, and this little bitty spoon about that big, a cocaine spoon, I guess. I'm not sure what it was. But it's just a taste. And I remember, Brother Zito a taste of that stuff. He said, boy, this is good. He said, I'm going to my car, get my checkbook, and buy me some of that stuff. He did too, didn't you? And that's the way the Word of God is. Man, you're getting that thing. You say, boy, this is good. I've got to have some more of this. I remember that message Brother Earl preached. What a message on that thing on First Things. Remember that? Talk about that man that was healed. I love it. He said that man that got healed, he didn't get up and took one step. He said, well, that's enough. I've had one step. I'll sit down. He didn't do that. He jumped up and danced. And same way with reading the Bible, brother. If you read that Bible and go through it, when you get through, you won't say, well, that's one time through. I've had enough. You'll say, man, I can't wait to get the next time. I remember Brother David. He got saved at my house. He couldn't read. Literate. I got him some tapes by Alexander Scorby. Bought him a Bible. You remember that? 6 months after he'd been saved, he couldn't read. Couldn't read a lick. But I said, take Brother David, take these tapes, take your Bible out, and go through these tapes, and go through it 6 months after I gave him. He come to me, he says, Brother Terry, I just finished my Bible through from Genesis to Revelation, what I do now. You know what I told him? I said, you go right back over. He said, praise the Lord, I thought that's what you was going to say. Make it precious. Make it a part. Make it private. Make it a priority in your life. Not only that, make it prayerful. Realize this morning this is a spiritual book. This is a living, breathing book. This book's alive. It's alive. You don't pick it up like you do any other book. This is a living book. This is the Word of God. This is the mind of God. It's a terrible responsibility to hold a Bible. Jesus said, He said, my words, they're spirit and they're life. This is a living, breathing book. I never read it. I never read it that I don't pray first. I mean, I don't make a big prayer. I say, Lord, as I read this book, I say, Lord, I pray you'd feed me. Help my mind to stay upon it, Lord. Help it not to wander, Lord. I pray, God, you enlighten my soul, Lord. Help me to rejoice in it, God, and show me what you want me to get, something like that. I never pray, read my Bible without praying. If I stop for a little while, I have to come back, I pray again. Sometimes when I read my Bible, this happens to me about once every 2 weeks. It happened to me this week. I start reading my Bible there at the house, and something's on my mind. And I kept my Bible, I'm trying to read, and my mind goes over here and back and forth. Y'all do that, wander a lot of time. You know what I do when that happens? I close my Bible, and I'll go fix whatever's going on, come back. Last week, Esther had our dryer's acting up, and that thing, boom, 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 and my little cubby office is right next to the washing room, and it rattles my room in there, man. And I'm trying to read my Bible, Brother David, and boom, 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 Congo bump drums are going off. Boom, 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 boom. Finally I said, I'm going to close my Bible and I'm going to go check that thing out and I'm going to figure out what's going on the internet and get some parts for it and wait till that thing stops and I'll get back in my Bible. Because you know what? I couldn't pay attention to it. Make it prayerful. Make sure God's in it with you. Make it prayerful. Make it a priority. Make it a part. Make it precious. Make it private. And I want to say one other thing about it. Make sure there's a passion in your soul for the Word of God. If you're saved this morning, something should have happened to you when you got saved, and there should have been a regeneration and a new birth, and the Holy Ghost should have come in and lived in you, and at that second, you were a newborn creature, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, there should be a passion in you for the Word of God. When I got saved, I told you I was an atheist. I didn't know Bibles in the house except for one. I got saved that Wednesday night. Nobody told me to read my Bible. I was like a newborn babe. Nobody tells that baby, here you go, drink the milk. They come out of the womb. When you get saved, there ought to be a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Make sure it's there. Because if it's not there, something's wrong somewhere. There ought to be there. There ought to be a passion. There ought to be a fire of the Word of God. It ought to be there. There ought to be something alive inside of you. Man, shall I live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. There ought to be something in you just like that physical food that you get. There ought to be a movement in you. The Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, their foolishness unto them, because they're spiritual discerned. If you pick this Bible up and it doesn't speak to you, if you pick this Bible up and it's foolishness unto you, if you pick it up and it doesn't make the heart rejoice and lighten the eyes, the Bible says, if there's not a passion there, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because God's no respecter of persons. What He done in my life, He should have done in yours. The Bible says that. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Just like that little baby. Make sure there's a passion. The Bible said, therefore, if man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past, behold, all things are become new. Psalm 19 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It ought to make the heart rejoice when you read the Bible. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It ought to do something for you. More to be desired of thee than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Psalms 119:97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. There ought to be a passion in your soul and your spirit for that precious Word of God. If there's not a passion, one of two things is wrong. One of you never had that spiritual new birth. That regeneration never took place. You never got born again. If that passion's not there, if it's that fire that God put in there, Jeremiah said one time, he said, I'm not going to speak anymore about that word. It's a reproach. And he said, I could not stay. The word was like a fire in my bosom. It's a fire. There's a passion in you. You don't have that passion. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You're not saved. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to wake up in hell. I'm a church member, preacher. Matthew 7:21, not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Hey, preachers, have we not done mighty works in thy name? He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. People say, I'm sitting in a church, I'm doing great, I tithe, I do all this. Is there a passion for the Word of God in you? The acid test of the new birth, my friend, is that newborn desire for the Word of God. If you don't have that, something's wrong. One, you never got saved. Or number two, you've quenched the Spirit of God in your life. Over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you go through it, one of them it says, quench not the Spirit. When you got saved, God immediately put a Spirit of God in you, and you got born again, and He came and dwelled in you, and you were a new creature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And that Holy Spirit of God came in you, and the thing that He feeds, the thing that He wants, is that spiritual food of the Word of God. And that passion should be there. If it's not there, you're not saved. You never had that born again experience. You never had that new creature. Or you've quenched that Spirit of God in your life. The word quench means to put the fire out. See, when you got saved, God put a desire and a fire for the Word of God and the spiritual things, that new birth. That's what that new man is. That's what that spiritual man is. And you'll quench the Holy Ghost of God. And the Bible no longer feeds you, fills you. And you know what? It's a whole lot easier to get saved than it is to get right. It's a whole lot easier to light dry wood than wet wood. What happens as a child of God, you get saved, a lot of Christians, and they quench the Spirit of God, they put the water of the world and everything else, and they soak the Holy Spirit of God, and they quench Him. And the Word of God is not a passion. There's not the excitement of the Word of God. There's that spiritual man, he's been quenched. He's been quenched. If there's not a passion for that Word of God, and I'm trying to help you this morning, something's wrong. Brother Earl Ankerman, fifth grade education, crack addict, Satanist, read his Bible through 100 times, over 100 times. That ought to be natural. The natural Christian reads their Bible. A lot of Christians think, well, nobody, no, they're, people read it. People in this church are reading their Bible. I'm telling you. Here's the article right here. 71% of African Americans read their Bible daily. People read their Bible. I go down to Cosby Lake down there. I see people reading their Bible every morning. 29% read it an hour or more. People read their Bible. A normal Christian reads their Bible. Brother Earl Ankrum read it through 100 times. He and I, when he was here, he and I, we know a lot of the same people. After he got through preaching, we'd sit back there. After everybody left, we'd sit and talk an hour at least every night. Because he knows a lot of the people I know. And he'd tell me about different preachers, how they're doing. We'd talk about sermon. We'd just talk what preacher talk kind of thing. We just had a great time. And I never forget, one night everybody got through and he said, I can't hang around tonight. He said, I got to get back to the hotel. I need to hurry up and get back. I said, Earl, what's going on, brother? You got something going on? He said, man, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I finished reading my Bible this morning. He said, I get to start over in Genesis tonight. And he said, I can't wait to get back in it. He said, I got to get back to the hotel. That ought to be natural. That shouldn't be abnormal. There ought to be a passion for the Word of God. Ought to be alive. It's a living book. If it's not a passion this morning, you're the only one to fix it. Ought to be there. Ought to be there. That book ought to be a living, breathing. The Word of God, it says the Word of God is quick and powerful. That's alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that I mess. What God said. This book will speak to you. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out. I didn't write that. I know it's real. Ask my wife to come play. Every head bowed this morning. Every head bowed. Give you a few minutes. I'm trying to help you. Maybe you're where you need. I don't know. I just preach them. God gives them to me. I preach them. I don't know who does what around here. I don't go home with you. I don't know. I know some people read their Bible because they're telling me. They're talking to me about it. They're telling me what they're reading. They're excited about it. I know it. And it'll excite you. But if there's not a passion this morning, you need to fix it. You don't read your Bible daily, there's not that thing going on, you need to fix it. You need to get some things out, make it a priority, make it a part, make it precious, make it personal, make it prayerful. There's no reason for a Christian nowadays not to read their Bible. It'll help you more than anything you'll ever get in your Christian life. Nothing will ever substitute for it. Nothing. Go to church 3 times a day. It won't substitute for reading your Bible. Letting God speak to you. It's the most important thing you'll ever do as a Christian in your walk with the Lord. Is to get in that book. Feed on it. Feed on it. It'll feed you. You're here this morning. Spoke to you.